This is Girl with a Podcast. My life basically revolves around watching Bravo and drinking alcohol. I'm the modern day Bridget Jones if she was Jewish and not annoying. No, seriously, if sitting on your couch was an Olympic sport, I would win gold. Hello, everyone. We are back with Girl with a Podcast. I am your loyal host, Girl with No Job, aka Claudia Ashray, and we have a very special guest today. I'm a big fan, and I have so many questions for her because I don't know if you guys know this about me, but like I'm kind of obsessed with singing, and I think that I have the voice of an angel when I don't. But we actually have someone here who has the voice of an angel, Emily Warren. Don't forget the Schwartz. I have so many questions for you, specifically about your last name. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so your last name is Schwartz. You're Emily Warren Schwartz.
Yeah.
Explain to me why you cut out the Schwartz. I'm just curious, because like if I was being like a singer, like I would change my name too, but I don't know what yet.
You wouldn't change your name to Schwartz? No. Just doesn't have a nice ring to it, I don't think, as Warren.
Okay, does. And Warren is just like this like cool persona. Do you feel like there's a difference between Emily Warren and Emily Warren Schwartz?
For sure.
What's the difference?
The celeb is Emily Warren.
Yeah. She's like, Emily Warren walks the red carpet. Like, Emily Warren Schwartz walks Netflix. Right?
Exactly.
That is so cool. Okay. So tell me a little bit about how you got started writing music and a little bit about, like, where your career has taken you thus far.
I started writing songs when I was in fifth grade because I had a piano teacher that was a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of taught me how to do it. And then I had a band while I was in high school that split up when I got to college.
Dramatic.
Yep, very dramatic. Getting divorced from four people at once.
Were you the lead singer?
Yeah, it was called Obviously. Emily Warren and the Betters.
Oh, Josie and the Pussycats. I like how you put yourself at the forefront of it.
And then when I got to college, I was encouraged by someone I was working with at the time to start writing with other people for other artists. And I sort of just fell in love with it, and that's led me to where I am now in the sense that especially in the past year, a lot of the stuff I've written on has artists have left my voice on stuff, and that's how how I got kind of involved with the Chainsmokers in the first place. They left my voice on Until You Were Gone, and now we're and is the best.
It is. Okay, so tell me about like how you write a song, because I've always wanted to write songs, but like, it's not as easy as one might think. You can. Like, I just don't even know like where I would begin, you know? Like when you sit down, you're like, okay, I'm gonna write a song today. How do you do it?
I personally love drawing from real life, so I kind of feel like if you know what you're talking about, if you have something on your mind, you can pull a song from it, and then it's just about like picking what the concept is and then using all like the verse and everything to explain that one thought.
Okay, and so for those who don't know, you sing on Paris by the Chainsmokers, right? You sing on Phone Down, which is literally my favorite song.
Oh, amazing.
And you wrote Don't Let Me Down.
Yeah.
Wrote On, which is I guess the nice way of saying like you pretty basically wrote it, but like you left other people's names on it, which I understand. Okay, and tell me how you like hooked up with the Chainsmokers, not actually hooked up by now, but like, you know, got together.
The first one was Until You're Gone, which I'm singing on, which was a song that was pitched to them that they ended up reproducing. And then I've written six of their songs now and two on the album that I'm featured on, and then singing on two more on the album. But yeah, it's been really cool just cause I'm on tour with them now and performing in their show, performing the songs I sing on the album. And it's been such a cool experience watching them and being a part of them turning into what it's turned into.
Right.
And just kind of like also writing about it as it's happening and just they're the best.
They're so famous.
Yeah, they're so famous.
Okay, and so
I tell them that all the time.
They are so famous.
Yeah.
And so you go on these enormous stages and these huge arenas that they perform in, and like do you get nervous?
It's crazy. I think I was saying earlier that somehow it's less scary when it's more people.
I get that. It's like singing in front of your mom, like, is the scariest thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the scariest show I've ever done still was at the Bitter End. My friend was sitting, like, 3 inches away from my face, like, looking bored. So that was tough.
And so what's the biggest arena you've played with them, like, number of people?
The biggest show I've done with them, you mean on this tour in general?
In general.
I did a festival with them. I just did one song at Kaboo Festival last September, but these arenas are like 10 to 14,000 every night.
Wow.
So it's crazy.
And what's your method before going on, like to calm your nerves or whatever? You like drink, you smoke, what do you
definitely
do?
Take a shot.
That always helps, no matter what you're doing.
Yep. I warm up, but it's great because I'm like a few songs into the set and Drew announces me before I come on, so it's like a really good vibe.
Okay. And tell me about, like, so maybe some people don't know this, but like when you become famous, which you are, and like you go to like a show or like a whatever, and you go in your dressing room, you get to give a rider, which is basically like a list of things you want in your dressing room. Like mine would have chicken nuggets. Like what does yours have?
That's genius. I really struggled because I was put on the spot when it was time to ask for my rider. And they have so many good snacks in there. So I just go in there, but I don't know. I have a bottle of tequila every night when I get in there. Okay. I have a couch, my own dressing room.
These are important.
Big deal.
Bathroom.
Yep, bathroom. Can't I tried to get a bathrobe, but it was too late.
Oh, slippers. That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
I'm, like, putting together my mental rider for when I become famous enough to have one, you know?
Yep. Actually, okay. The best part is my wardrobe is all in this box that they take in and out of the venue. So when I get there, there's an open box with all my clothes and shoes.
And you don't have to pack or roll it. I didn't even know that happened. That's amazing. The best. And so you probably find yourself more often than not in like very cool situations with cool people because you're cool and famous now. What is like, who's the coolest person you've met? Who surprised you the most? Who surprised you the least? Who was mean to you? Give us like juicy celebrity gossip.
Oh my God.
Because I can tell you, when I met Hilary Duff, she was a bitch. But I was in high school, and she was like, if I take a picture with you, will you stop staring at me? And I was like, yeah, sure.
She said that?
Yeah, she was really not nice in the Bahamas.
Oh, my God.
And that stuff kind of sticks with you,
scarring,
you know?
Yeah. Scarring. I mean, that's actually why a lot of the people I admire who are songwriters and singers, I don't want to work with because I'm so scared of them, like, ruining. Like, if John Mayer is what everyone says he is and he's an asshole, then I have no music to listen to. Yeah.
That is so upsetting. I just went to the concert at Madison Square Garden.
How was it?
It was unbelievable, except everyone in my section was so lame, like, sitting down. Like, I get that it's, like, a slow concert, but, like, you still got to stand. Mm-hmm. And I had the time of my life, except my section was, like, bringing me down. I got in trouble by this guy next to me dancing. That's the worst.
Like,
what do you do at concerts?
Go home and sit down. Stand up.
Yeah, right. Watch it on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, watch on the couch if you must sit.
What do you do at other people's concerts? Because you're probably just, like, analyzing their vocals and lyrics and stuff, right?
No, I actually get made fun of a lot for – I love just, like – I'm absorbing it so intensely, but for certain concerts, I love being in the front and being in the mosh pit and stuff like that.
That's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have a question for you. So you are primarily a songwriter, right? Uh-huh. But more than you think a performer or equal.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of flipping now. I'm about to put my first single out in the next couple of weeks. And this tour is kind of opening all of that.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's happened really naturally just with people wanting me to sing on their stuff.
So can you tell us a song that you've written for someone that we might not know you wrote?
I just wrote the new Noah Cyrus single. Together.
She's so cool. She's like great. What Miley should have been, you know, before she like went crazy with her dead pets. You know what I'm saying?
She's amazing. I really love her.
And so you work with the Chainsmokers a lot and you performed on SNL, right? Mm-hmm. What was that like? What's the word I'm looking for? Jackie, what's the word? When like it starts with a B and like a milestone-ish, but like benchmarks. So, okay, yeah. No, that's not really the word I was looking for. Like, is that like a musician's like dream?
Yeah, for sure. I think I was just telling someone earlier that halfway through the performance, I realized what was going on. Like, I realized I was performing on SNL, and everyone said they were like, "What happened halfway through?" And you just got like a big goofy smile, and all of a sudden, you didn't see it happen. I'm suddenly like,
"No, that's the craziest thing."
Yeah.
No, and what was it like backstage?
Like out of a movie, full on. I mean, Louis C.K. was the host that week, so he was walking by and. Like all the comedians were on the show and just everyone's autograph all over the wall is pretty surreal.
That is the craziest thing ever. That is like, you're so famous. I can't get over it. Okay. Now I read something about you in Us Weekly that I have a lot of questions for. Because you said Drew Taggart, Scott Harris, and I wrote Don't Let Me Down by the Chainsmokers about getting lost in Coachella.
Correct.
And as someone who just got back from Coachella a few days ago, I just have like, the song resonates with me so much more now because we got lost like 100,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, physically and emotionally, you know? Yeah. So tell me about the experience of getting lost at Coachella and then how you actually turned it into a song. Because like, if I wrote a song, it would be about how Coachella was treacherous. Like, I feel that.
We actually had just been to Coachella, like, one or two, like, a couple weeks before we wrote the song, and I had the same experience. I got fully lost, and there's no service, and everyone's a zombie, and it's, like, pitch black.
So hot.
Yeah. And so, on the way to the session, I was with Scott, who I wrote the song with, and we were like, what would you want to hear if you were, like, maybe on drugs or drunk and, like, lost all your friends and you're distressed at Coachella? And it was, Don't Let Me Down was the idea we had. And it was so crazy because the next year we basically got to see them perform Don't Let Me Down at Coachella. So it was this perfect, like, full circle.
That's crazy.
Amazing thing, yeah.
And so a lot of the music that you write that I listen to is, like, really, like, not EDM, but, like, it's dance tunes, you know? I don't know what the right word is. Are you a big, like, partier, club goer, club rat?
I was until recently. I'm, like, trying to take myself seriously now, but...
Right.
It's so funny because everyone thinks that we're all getting, like, super drunk on this tour.
Right.
But Drew has to sing, and so if we drink, we'll lose our voices, so it's very tame.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. A little bit of a letdown.
Alex is living the party life.
Oh, right, because he doesn't sing with you guys. That is hilarious. So speaking of the actually, I have one more question before I give you, like, a lowdown. I need a lowdown on the Chainsmokers. And I usually hate when people ask me this, and I'm not looking for, like, a ball. I'm looking more for, like, a ballpark figure, not, like, an actual number, just because I'm curious, like, for my own, you know, mind. So when you write a song versus when you, like, perform a song, like, with your single.
Yeah.
How much money do you make? Like, not, I don't want a number. I just want, like, a ballpark of, like, is it that much more when you're the performer or as to when you're the lyricist?
Yeah. I mean, not to get into too many. Well, it depends. You get a publishing split of whatever you write. So we split the song with whoever was writing on the song. Mm-hmm. If the artist was in the room, they'll get the same split, but then they'll make more if they're touring or selling records and stuff. But crazy thing is that, like, a label will take 83%.
Oh, my God.
Of, like, Spotify streaming, for example. So, I don't know. That's why writers are often fighting for, like, a fair split. Because we only make money off of the writing part of it. Whereas an artist then can sell merch and tour and all this stuff. And they have all different outlets. But.
And that's, like, what Chance the Rapper's talking about, right?
Exactly.
Wow. That's so crazy.
It's nuts. I mean, even, like, with the song I did, Capsize, like, before they signed, we all owned a piece of the master before you sell it to the label. And it was like, you're making so much more money off of that.
Right.
Before you sign, yeah.
And so there's this kind of moral, you know, discussion going on about streaming as opposed to, you know, Apple Music, iTunes, where you pay for the songs. What is your, have you formed an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people go at Spotify for the rates, but it's, I mean, it's partially that, but it's also, like, if you sign to a label, then you're giving away most of your percentage. But I think streaming is actually a really good model because the idea that you pay for a song every time you listen to it. So if you write a song that people want to listen to 100 times, like, you're rewarded for that versus, okay, I'm paying whatever it is now, $129, and, like, I can listen to it a million times.
Right, and, like, for me as a consumer, like, $9 a month, I can swing that.
Right. I'm a big Spotify user.
Me too. Except, like, why did Taylor Swift have to do that? Because I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. Okay. So now I have a lot of questions for you about the Chainsmokers because you're, like, best friends with them. I don't know, best friends, like, lovers, whatever it is. And I just have some questions about Drew and Alex because, like, I don't know, like, they follow me on Instagram and I just, like, want to know more about them. So who do you think is hotter, Drew or Alex?
I could not answer that.
You have to or else I'm kicking you out of the studio.
They're both in different ways.
Equally. And how so? Elaborate.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, the chances of them hearing this are pretty high because they follow me on Instagram. So don't worry. No pressure.
They're definitely going to hear this. I don't know. They're very different, first of all.
Okay, actually, you're giving me a teacher answer here. You're all winners. No, just one.
I cannot pick one. I
love both. All right. Who's nicer? Ugh. You can't not answer two in a row, so choose one, nicer or hotter.
They're both very nice. Nice boys.
They are nice. Okay, fine. Have you ever made out with either of them?
No.
Have you gotten close to? Have you, like, thought about it?
No.
What is on their rider?
Tequila.
Anything else?
Lots of snacks.
Okay.
Food. They actually get a whole fridge of, like, a million different beverages.
I love, like, beverages.
Wow. Yeah.
And do either of them actually smoke?
Alex sometimes
smokes. Okay. Now, like I said before, I am obsessed with singing. Like, I think I have the best voice. Don't worry, I'll sing for you. And, like, a lot of times I, like, ask my Snapchat followers, like, who have good voices to send me videos of them singing because, like, I'm obsessed with, like, hearing people, like, me. But I'm just, like, obsessed with, like, hearing people with good voices, not even so much famous people. I just, like, I could fall asleep to the sound of this girl when I was in high school, Sophie. She had the best voice. So I'm going to ask you to sing for me, but, like, only, like, 15 seconds so Legal doesn't, like, get on my ass. And you can choose whatever song you want. I want to enjoy it.
Favorite song.
Oh, okay. What's my favorite song? Oh, my God, there are just so many. Okay, the one I'm loving right now is, do you know Maren Morris?
Not well enough.
Okay. Jackie, help me. What's my favorite song? No, I don't, I'm not singing Barbara Streisand. No, I'm not going to make her sing Barbara. Because I'm going to do it better than her, so I don't want to embarrass her.
I want to hear.
Jackie, what is my favorite song? Or just... Oh, do you know The Climb?
It's The Climb.
Yeah. That's no, do I it got. For real. Oh. Okay, so you choose the song. How about that? Just like a, you know, a popular one that like I can just enjoy and drink up. Okay, Lean On Me. Phone Down. Phone Down. Oh, duh, that's my favorite song.
Can I cuss on your podcast?
I seriously encourage you to do so.
All right. Why don't you put that fucking phone down, darling, so we could be alone now? Can't you just be here when the lights go out? Why don't you ever put that phone down?
I feel like you wrote that song about me, and I'm just, like, upset about it, you know? That was really good. I just love singing. And
I
so,
want to hear you sing.
Don't worry. We're getting there. I feel like you could really help me, like, perfect this voice I'm trying to go for. Like, mm-hmm. you have this, like, sexy, like, raspy undertone, and I'm just looking for this, like, Barbra Streisand, like, Broadway, like, oh, you know? Yeah. So can you give me, like, some exercises that I could do, like, with my lips and, like, voice to make my voice? I'm very breathy, you know? I think it's because I'm out of shape. But, like, what can I do to perfect it?
Here's the things I've recently learned to warm up for tour. If you go, but you fall over in your chair and then sit back up.
Oh, so you need me to get up minute. Is what you're saying?
No, you could just
lean I could this do it sitting. Okay.
And go.
Okay. And what's that supposed to do?
That just opens you up.
And now what about, like, I always see people doing, like, la, 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 la.
Yeah. The one I just learned is you try and start at the highest note you've got.
Okay.
And go. Nice. And
that's
you just
good.
Keep going down.
I have like a man voice, so it's really
you
not hard
me
for
both.
Me. And now I'm also obsessed with like harmonizing, and I don't really know how to do it, but when I hear it, it like gives me chills, you know? So I'm gonna sing Lean On Me by I don't know who sings it, and I want you to harmonize it and like give me chills, okay?
Okay.
And I'm just gonna start from the top, ready?
Yeah.
And I'm also gonna record it. Hold on, I think this is gonna be hilarious. Okay, ready? Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Oh my God, that was so good. I love harmonizing. Like, I wish I knew how to do it. Is it something you can learn or like you're just born with it?
I think you can learn it. I instinctively harmonize with things I'm listening to, so try that.
I don't know how. I've tried really hard. I just feel like now my life is complete. Thank you for harmonizing with me. And thank you for coming on. You were so fun. And congrats on all your success, really. It's very impressive.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, so that was really fun. She seems very nice. She's a little bit more shy than I thought she was going to be, but she was also super tall. Like I was not, and she was wearing heels. And I actually read that about her in Us Weekly when I was doing some research before meeting her. But yeah, she's like 6 feet tall. She was very sweet, and she's going to be really famous. And like, I just feel like now I established a relationship with her. And if I'm ever like wanting to go to a Chainsmokers concert, I'm just going to like DM her and ask her for tickets. But that wraps up the first segment. Something else I really want to talk about that I told you all I was going to deep dive into is the movie Mother's Day, because on my way home from Coachella, there were limited options for viewing on the Delta One app, and I decided to go with Mother's Day because, you know, my thought is like, you know, Julia Roberts, Jennifer Aniston, Kate Hudson, Shay Mitchell, all actresses who are seasoned and whom I really love and appreciate their work. And I'm like, how bad can this movie be? But I did think in the beginning that on the, you know, on the movie cover that Julia Roberts was wearing that like orange bob wig. And I thought that was weird. And I thought that, you know, maybe that was like a red flag, but I ignored it and continued to watch. And I just have to say, I was extremely, extraordinarily disappointed in the movie for so many reasons. I can't believe that more people aren't talking about how weird the movie is, because it was so weird. Like, it was like whoever directed it, who, by the way, is Gary Marshall, who's like a very famous director. Like, he directed like a million famous movies, The Princess Diaries. It's like he basically told everyone to act poorly. Like, some of the acting that I saw, like, I swear I could have done a better job at. And I just felt so awkward watching. And even that girl from The Longest Ride, the blonde girl who was Julia Roberts' daughter in the end, by the way, sorry, that's a spoiler if you haven't seen the movie. Don't worry, I really encourage you not to see it anyway. Like, it was like everyone was acting badly. And honestly, the only actress who didn't make me want to like shit my pants with cringiness was Shay Mitchell. And she's like the newest actress. Like, all these women have been acting for 30 years, and it's like they literally walked onto set and forgot how to act and speak. Like, it was so cringy and it was so awkward. And speaking of TV, because like that's literally all I do talk and think about, I have a lot of thoughts on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And if you've been tuning into The Morning Breath, which is my sister Jackie and I's new morning show, which is on Facebook and Instagram at The Morning Breath, it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know my thoughts, but I still feel like I owe this reunion like a little bit more more of my time because I just had so many thoughts. First of all, I think that Erica Jayne came prepared. You know, she's had some amazing one-liners, like asking if PK is going to be holding a diamond next season. And when he's complaining that, you know, everyone thinks he's a pig, she's like, well, I'm a whore. So she's just been having such good one-liners. And I appreciate, you know, her effort in the reunion. I feel like a lot of times, like, Dorit has literally not said more than 10 words. And Erica came prepared. She came ready. And her look is divine. I'm loving her baby doll hair. Her skin is literally perfection. And I screenshotted her makeup from Instagram to, like, show someone the next time I get my makeup done. Because she just looks so good. And I love the way she just, like, crosses her legs and her thighs look so skinny. I'm just, like, I'm so jealous. I feel like I'm saying, like, so many times and I want to slow down, but I can't. I don't know how to stop. Yeah. So I think PK being there, I always feel really strongly about certain husbands being invited to the reunion because I think it's unfair. I think it's a ladies' space. And if there's going to be a husband to defend their wife, I think everyone's husband should have come. And I think Ken Todd really should have been there to defend his actions against what he said about Erica. I don't remember exactly. It was really vile and disgusting, and I did not appreciate it. And I think he should have had the opportunity to get yelled at by everyone. And I think only PK being there was not fair. I think that everyone deserved, Harry Hamlin needed to be there to defend Lisa Rinna. Oh, should we even talk about Bunny Gates? So stupid, and I can't believe how much it's being blown up. Like, okay. First of all, when they, in the promo, like, alluded to Kim having something behind her couch, I thought it was going to be like, I don't know, read receipts. Like, I love when people bring receipts and, like, different paperwork. But the bunny, like, she didn't even take it out of the silicone wrapping. It was so funny. And Lisa Rinna crying. I have so many mixed feelings about Lisa Rinna because I think that in her, what she says and how she says it is crazy, but the core of what she's actually saying isn't that off. I do really believe that last season, Lisa Vanderpump pushed her aside and told her to involve Kyle in the Munchausen's thing. Lisa Vanderpump is the most manipulative bitch I've ever met, and the fact that some people don't see that yet is alarming. And I think this entire season is really about Lisa Vanderpump, but she's, as Erica says, a sniper from the side. Like, this whole Dorit thing was encouraged by Lisa Vanderpump, and that's in turn Lisa Vanderpump being a sniper from the side. But Lisa Rinna, I think she gets a bad rap. She is nuts, and she looks crazy, and she's too skinny, and her lips look nuts. But she has a beautiful daughter, who, by the way, I met at Coachella, and is literally the nicest girl ever. But I think she gets a bad rap in the sense that sometimes her arguments are right, but she loses her rightness by being a nut job. Like, when she asked, were people doing cocaine at your party? I have to say, they probably were doing cocaine at your party. And they cut to a scene that they haven't showed in a while where Lisa Rinna is sitting at Dorit Kemsley's house dinner party at this long table with, you know, with where everyone was seating. And she's the only one there. She's sitting with that publicist who was giving her, like, philosophical advice. No one was there. So there probably were people doing drugs at, he works in the music industry. It's not that big of a deal. But, like, as she says, own it. There were people doing drugs. And when she asked if she trusts her husband, that was a valid question. Because if she cared so much about Erica flashing her vagina by accident, she wouldn't have cared so much if she trusted her husband. Implicitly. You know, I just feel like sometimes she gets a bad rap, Lisa Rinna, because she says things that, you know, I might have been thinking, but she says them so nuts and so crazy. And she has to get over the Xanax thing. Like, yes, Dorit was alluding to the fact that she had a drug problem, but, like, get over it. So this week's episode was really short, and I waited 2 weeks to do it, and I'm really sorry. It's just like every time I record the podcast, I get really sweaty, and I just want to get up. So as always, subscribe to the podcast, follow The Morning Breath, follow me on Instagram, and, you know, just do it. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Let me know your thoughts on Emily Warren. Listen to some of her songs. They're actually really good, and she has her own EP coming out in a few weeks. So stay tuned. As always, love you. Bye.